as it's mental illness, and changes need to be made.
I think there's a great appetite to do something with regard to making sure that mentally unstable, seriously ill people aren't carrying guns. And I've never seen the appetite as strong as it is now.
Later, he'll be visiting Dayton, Ohio, where 9 people died, 10 counting the gunman, in a mass shooting hours after the El Paso incident. The Dow Jones Industrial averaged down over 500 points in early trading this morning as that U.S.-China trade war continues. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck. This is truck oil. This is hunting, fishing, camping way off the grid oil. This is climbing mountains in the rain, snow, and mud oil. This is hauling the world's greatest tailgate party halfway across the country, oil. This is not top-down cruising to the corner store for cupcakes oil. This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck, just for your truck and SUV, oil. Find Shell Rotella Gas Truck at your local Advance Auto Parts today.
Parents, the end of summer is here. You want to get the best deal ever on a good night's sleep while you're paying for all that stuff for school supplies? How about getting the best deal ever on a MyPillow? Good night's sleep for just $69.98 for 2 MyPillow premium pillows, $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. A good night's sleep is worth twice the price. So go to MyPillow.com, click on the 2-pack special, use my promo code USA, get great savings on a good night's sleep.
We told you moments ago that Wall Street is lower because of concerns about the China trade war. Well, the president also was asked to comment on that as he was leaving the White House for El Paso.
I would have maybe anticipated even more, but ultimately it's going to go much higher than it ever would have gone because China was like an anchor on us. China was killing us with unfair trade deals.
At least a dozen people recovering from injuries after a panic in Times Square last night. Thousands of people went running and knocking into each other after hearing what they thought were gunshots that turned out to be a motorcycle backfiring. A Texas congressman catching heat after posting a list of Donald Trump donors in his district. Democrat Joaquin Castro tweeted the names and employers of 44 San Antonio citizens who donated the federal maximum to the president's reelection campaign, writing, "The donors are fueling a campaign based on hate." And this is USA Radio News.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McEntee on the Hunterdon County Chamber, and this is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. Little bit of change, guys. Usually I'm on Fridays at 3 o'clock, but I'll be broadcasting now on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. I'll be sharing the time slot with Jeannie Murphy from Weichert Realty, and our show is going to be called Home Again, and we're going to cover everything in the home from home maintenance items and things related to home inspection, and Jeannie's going to cover the side of the real estate business and how to prepare your home for sale and how to sell your house and how to buy one and things to look out for and staging events and stuff like that. We'll be sharing guests from decorators to electricians to my guest in the next coming weeks is going to be a structural engineer. So again, this new show is called Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. I will be doing the first Wednesday and the third Wednesday of the month. Jeannie will be doing the second and the fourth, and we'll be sharing the fifth one. We'll do a show together. Jeannie's very easy to blow an hour talking about home inspections and anything else there. Again, Home Team. Home Team is a home inspection service. We do full-fledged inspections of the house, and we arrange them all. Our saying is one call does it all. And what that means is that we will arrange all your inspections, whether it's a septic, a roof inspection, a radon inspection. We do most of them ourselves, but then some of them, like the septic inspection, we farm it out. You can always reach us. You can reach me at my email address at lmcentee@hometeam.com. That's lmcentee.com. Today's show, and you're also the phone number for my office is 973-547-7748. That's 973-547-7748. If you have any questions about your home or you have any concerns, give the number a call and leave your name and number with Jennifer, and I'll be sure to get back to you. I do answer questions for free, and sometimes I'll tell you I don't know. It's okay not to know everything, people. Nobody knows everything, and the smartest men in the world know they know nothing. So join us there, and we're going to be doing that. And today we're going to cover the 10 most common defects. These are the 10 most common, and you can almost find at least half of them in any house at any given time. It's not a problem with your house. It's just that you got to know about it. And these are problems that don't go away. They'll fester and they'll get worse, and then they'll cost you bigger money in the long run. So we'll cover those in a little bit. But first, I have to run a couple commercials, and then we'll do the weather, and I'll be back.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Okay, I'm back. The weather this week, today, PM thunderstorms coming up, so be prepared for some storms in the late afternoon. Don't get caught short on that, and look out for the puddling. But it's going to be 91 with a low of 70 with a 50% chance of rain in the afternoon. Tomorrow, we're looking at one of the most beautiful weekends I think we've seen in a long time. Friday is going to be sunny, 88. Saturday is going to be sunny and 88. Sunday is going to be sunny and 88. And a big event up in Vassar Park up in Budd Lake, New Jersey this weekend is the Vet Fest. It's for the veterans, the homeless veteran shelter. It's Operation Chill Out. This is a whole festival, and they take donations. I think the entry is free, and they ask for a donation. There'll be bands, and there'll be vendors, and I'll have a booth up there. So come by and see us. It's Vassar Park off of Wolf Road in Budd Lake. It's called the Vet Fest, and it benefits the homeless veterans. And something that near and dear to my heart, in the sense that you guys out there know that first responders and vets get a discount from me. So These are guys that did a lot for us, and so come out, enjoy it. It's going to be a beautiful day. Come out, listen to some music, get some good food. There'll be all kinds of activities going on, so that's the Vet Fest up on Wolf Road in Budd Lake, New Jersey, and I'll be back in a minute with after this commercial.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
All right, I'm back. This is Larry McEntee, and this is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. And this is Larry, the home inspector. Today we're going to talk about the 10 most common home defects. These are things that I find in most home inspections, and you can probably find some of them in my own home. It's the old saying of the shoemaker's kids. My wife will tell you I'm a little behind on my honey do list there. So don't think I'm passing judgment on anybody here. It's just that things that we want to do. Let's talk about, as soon as I get the right slide up here. We'll talk about the most common defects and how to spot them, and to discuss possible problems, potential problems. If you're looking to sell your house or you're looking to buy a house, these are things you should be looking at. And I'm going to save you. This is a savings idea here, guys. When you look at a house that you're going to buy, before you go into contract, before you hire an inspector, before you hire an appraiser, before you hire a septic inspection, these are things that you should do and make sure you're comfortable with the house. Because if you hire me to do it, you're paying me to tell you what some of these things you could do yourself. So giving away some secrets here, some trade secrets on what to look for. So here we go. Basically, the top 10 defects, and this is drainage is the number one foundation. And I tell all my customers that water is the number one enemy of any house. It's relentless. It's persistent. It's constant. And it doesn't get better. It gets worse. If you look at most of your homeowner's insurance policies, they don't cover water damage that's older than 2 weeks or that if you know about it, they want you to mitigate it. The reason being that is they know it's going to get worse, and if you just ignore it thinking it's going to go away, it doesn't. Start with the foundation. Look around the house, and you should have at least 6 inches of concrete of foundation should be visible even on with brick walls, and 8 inches on stucco walls or siding. So what that means is if you look around the side of your house and you see your stucco or you see your vinyl siding, you should see your foundation for 6 to 8 inches. What happens a lot of times is people put mulch down and they put mulch down and they put mulch down year after year, and that builds up into the point where the mulch is starting to cover that. That's a perfect entry for ants, termites, mice, rot, mold. Moisture brings everything. Everybody loves moisture. The ants love it. The termites love it. The mice love it. Mold loves it. So you should have that space. Even with brick, I mean, you know, if the house is made of brick, it's one thing. But when you have a brick fascia or stone, stacked stone is very popular today. If that's into the ground, it will wick water up behind it into the soft parts of the house. Your downspouts. First thing I look at when I look inspect the house is walk around the house and I look at the downspouts. You know how many houses I find that they are even extended, but their elbows disconnected and the water is dumping right at the base of the house. Now think about this. Your roof is, you know, 10 square. That's, you know, 1,000 square feet of water collection. And if that water is coming out of that gutter and it's coming down there in a heavy rain, it's going to all come down in that one spot. And it's going to leak against the foundation and it's going to make your basement damp. If you have a damp wall, if you see a wall that's like damp and it looks like there's water behind it, go outside and check your downspouts. The other thing about the downspout is make sure it's draining away from the house. A lot of people will have an extension on it, but the water is pooling up and rolling back towards the house. So I suggest the next time it rains, get an umbrella, walk around, and you usually have 4 or 5 of these things. Check those downspouts and see where the water is going. Check it in a heavy rain, because in a light rain you might see a little water trickling out of there, but in a heavy rain you may see it pouring out of there. And 9 times out of 10, if it's pouring against the foundation, I will find dampness in the basement. I'll find water in the basement. I'll find mold in the basement. Coupled with that you want to do that. You want to get the downspouts at least 6 feet away from the house. 10 feet is better. If you can pipe it into an underground pipe and pipe it to the curb or pipe it away from the backyard, that's always better too. Get it away from the foundation because you don't want that water sitting against that brick wall, because the more water that sits against that brick wall, that concrete will absorb it and it will increase the moisture in the house even if it doesn't leak into the house. The covering the foundation, you know, you have a sill plate back there, and a sill plate is the piece of wood that's on top of the cinder block. Today, it's usually a piece of womanized wood. It's treated. Womanized is a trade name, but it's a pressure-treated piece of wood, and it's got a vapor barrier underneath it today. But a lot of the old ones weren't pressure-treated, and they're just regular wood. And if that water absorbs into that, some places where you might have seen this is if you have a front stoop, and the front stoop is settled over time, and the water drapes back towards the front door, and you have it rebuilt. They get in there, and you see the front of the house is sort of rotted away right there. That can happen all along your sill plate, and that's a perfect entry for your termites, your ants, your rot, your mold. So understand that, you know, I'm going to find a way to put slides up on this show, and so on our Facebook stream you can see it. But understand those are some of the things that happen. So you got to make sure that you do that. One of the things that I see a lot of people will do is they'll build a bed around the front of the house. They'll either do it with brick or they'll do it with concrete landscaping stones, and they'll raise it a foot in front of the house, and then they'll backfill it with topsoil and mulch. It looks beautiful, but now you're about a foot and a half higher on the front of the house that was never meant to have that mulch and that soil against it. So if you didn't take the time to either flash it or weatherproof the front of the house, you're introducing water into that. Even if the brick sheds it, the fact that the moisture is that high, it's going to wick up underneath it. Stucco is famous for this. EIFS, which is a exterior insulation facade. It's you'll see it. It looks like stonework, and it's really actually just styrofoam and a coat of stucco on it. If you raise the earth around it without protecting that, you're introducing water against the house that was never meant to be there. So before you build those beds in the front, get some help, get some professional help on how to seal that front of the house to do that. It may require you putting in flashing along the front of the house to protect the water to make sure that it's getting away from there. But there is no guarantee if you put that pressure in that water, especially if those beds hold a lot of water. And typically you put flowers and trees in that bed, and guess what? You're going to water it. You're going to water them to death. So understand you got to be careful when you do that. You just can't do it. So that's the biggest, the single biggest one is number one, is your water around the house. You want to manage it out back underneath the deck. Too many people I see, the posts are in the ground. They might have been on a concrete pylon when they started, but they raised the ground, and now the dirt is touching the wood. Guess what happens to wood that touches dirt? It rots. sometimes it rots faster than other times. If it's hot and wet and damp all the time, it'll rot a lot faster. You want to make sure that if you can, if there's a cement pylon there, you keep it clear, you put some gravel around it, let the water drain away from the wood so it dries out. That's a big problem underneath the deck, so you got to make sure, even the ground decks, but even more so in the big decks, because they're holding up quite a bit. So we call it earth-to-wood contact. Anywhere there's earth-to-wood contact around the house, expect rot. I mean, you can put landscape timbers in the ground, but expect them to rot. So if they're structural, you don't want them to rot. If they're just holding the flower bed back, it's okay. So think about that. Now, electrical defects is the number two one. And this is a big one because, officially I'm going to tell you, have electrical work done by a licensed and insured electrical contractor. Understand that license word means a lot. In New Jersey, a home contractor is registered. That means they've given the state their name, their number, their home address, and they should be carrying insurance. It doesn't mean that they're good at what they do. It doesn't mean they went to school for what they did. It doesn't mean anything like that. It's a registration. Now, electrical license is different. It means they've done the work. They've been certified. They have continuing ed credits. They have professional standards. They have an ethics and standards and practice guide. And a typical electrician spends about 7 years getting their license and going on their own. So consider that. So officially, I tell you that. But realistically, people are going to do some of their own electrical work. Understand what you need to know about it, though. You need to know good things, and you need to know that, the hot wire goes to the brass screw. And I won't go into details because I don't want anybody to do their electric work if they don't understand it. You can do it, but you got to know what you're doing. One of the things that happens is people tend to cover up the electric panel. They don't like it. They finish the basement, and they don't like it, so they build a fake wall in front of it, or they build a door, or they put a closet, or they put something in front of it. Electric panels should be accessible, 36-inch clearance in front of it. That's for safety. It's for fire. If you've had a small electrical fire in your house and the fire company comes, sure as heck I'd want them to get to it fast and be able to shut the circuit off or shut the power off without having to rip my meter off the side of the house. So understand, you want to keep that clear. You can build a frame around it. You can enclose it in a closet, but you got to make sure you have access to the front. And you also want to be able to take the panel off. Many times they build a smaller opening than the panel, and you can't get the panel off. To do any kind of service or any replacement work, like replace a circuit breaker, you got to open it up. So keep that in mind that you want to do that. Also, when you get into the circuits, there's a lot of things that people don't understand. You can't double tap a circuit breaker. People think, oh, I just stick a wire in there. You can't. There's also rules about sub-panels are different than main panels. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you probably should call an electrician. If you do know what I'm talking about, you understand that you can't mix your grounds and your neutrals. But we won't get into that too much because I don't expect most of you to do it. But one of the things you can do, especially if you're in a house that you bought recently, is to make sure boxes are closed. I can count the number of times in a week that I go into an attic and I see open junction boxes. And what I mean by that is there's a junction box with some wires in it, and then I can see the wire nuts and I can see the wires. Or I see no box at all and I see a joint. Code requires that you put a proper electrical box and it houses the wires. There's also all kinds of regulations about the size of the box based upon the number of connections that are in the box. So understand it's not that simple. It's not like, oh, just throw everything in the box. You have to know what you're doing, and there's enough information out there that you can be dangerous. But the covers are a dime a dozen in the sense you can buy them probably for under a buck at Home Depot. Make sure your boxes are covered. That way any inadvertent connection with it will be averted. Also, that if it does overheat and the connection does overheat, and that's where it will probably happen, it will be in a steel box or a plastic box that will protect you from fire. Also, all the holes in the box should be filled. How many times I see a box with all the holes punched out and the wires in it? Doesn't do you much good then. So you got to be careful about that. Rodents, you should have covers on it. You also got to look at the insulation. Your wires come into your house. Mine come underground, so I can't see them. So that's one thing that I don't have to check. But if you have wires above ground, you got to check where they come into the house and what the insulation and tape looks like. Get the binoculars out. You don't want to get up on there on a ladder, and you don't want to be anywhere near that service line. The service line is bringing a lot of power into your house, and you leave that best to the electrician or the power company guy. But if you see weathering cables or cracked plastic around it, it's time to call an electrician, and you may want to look at that. But make sure you got covers on your electric outlets. You think you're not going to have an accident with it, but you will. And also animals have a problem with that. So electrical is one of those things that, you can do some of it yourself, but you're best, if you don't know what you're doing or you had no schooling or no understanding of it, call an electrician. Most of them will give you an estimate. sometimes the jobs that you might have to wait for them, if, especially if they're small jobs, because a busy electrician is hard to get sometimes. And the guy that's busy is the one you want, probably, too. If the guy has all the time in the world, maybe you want to look for another electrician. And also, be aware of Uncle Tom, Uncle Harry, or Uncle Tom, or my best friend who says, oh, yeah, I can wire it for you, because you don't want to put your family's life in somebody's hands who thinks they know what they're doing. And I tell you, I'm a handyman, but I won't work on your electrical system. I work on my own because I know what I'm doing, but I won't work on somebody else's because it's too big of a risk, and there are things that can go wrong. So make sure you get the licensed electrician in there and do it right. All right, we're going to take a couple commercials here, and then I'll be right back with a couple more items. Thanks.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, I'm back. This is Larry McAtee. It's home again with Jeannie and Larry. And this is Larry McAtee from Home Team Inspection Service, where we do full-fledged home inspections for people buying and selling homes. Today, let's talk about the roof now. The roof is something that it's probably best left for the professionals. If you've ever been on your roof, it looks like you can climb on it. It looks relatively not sloped that steep. Basically, I don't climb a roof that's more than a 12-2 pitch. What that means, it rises 2 feet and 12 feet of length. Anything higher than that, you get on and you climb up and you think, oh, it's not so bad. But then when you get up to the top and you look back down to the ladder, it's quite steep, and sometimes it's difficult to stop your momentum before you get to the edge. Any work on the roof should be done with the proper safety gear in place, too. I will walk a roof. I used to be a fireman. I think I've said that in many shows, but I've cut a couple holes in roofs with houses on fire, stepped off the ladders in the dark, and had no problem running around the roof with 30 pounds of gear on and a K-12 saw in my hand. But today, tell you the truth, the ground comes up faster than it used to, and it scares the hell out of me a little bit. But I still get up on it when I can. But your roofs and today's roofs and some of your homes, the roof is too steep, too slippery. You should leave that to the professional. But one of the things you can do is inspect it, keep an eye on it, and then call the professional early when it happens, because roofers tend to get busy. When you need a roofer, it's usually during a storm or after a storm, and there's usually a long waiting line. So keep an eye on your roof and make repairs ahead of time. When you have a storm, get outside, check it out, and get your appointment before the next storm. One of the things that I see a lot of is missing tabs. Those are the shingle tabs. Now, there's two tabs on top of each other. They're always overlapping. So if one breaks off, usually you don't develop a leak right away, but you do want to get it fixed before it becomes a problem. I had a branch in my backyard fall off the tree, and it actually put a hole right through my shed roof. The branch fell butt first, and it put a 4-inch hole right through the center of the roof, went through 2 shingles. And I went back there, and there was a little puddle in my shed, and I thought an animal ate through it till I went out back and found the huge branch sitting on the ground right below where it went through. So get out there with the binoculars, and I tell you, use the binoculars, because when you look at a roof, it all looks the same, because it does play eyes with architectural shingles. You can't see the imperfections unless you're looking up close. One of the things I see is gutters that are not maintained, siding that touches the roof. There should be a 1 to 2 inch gap between your siding and the roof. And water will drain down along those cracks, along your flashing. If it's there, you should see the silver flashing, or if you've got nice flashing, it might be copper. But there should be step flashing along the walls of your roof and where your shingles come up. Because if the shingles touch the wood, they'll wick it up like a sponge, and it will eventually rot your roof. And even vinyl siding should have that gap. That J channel shouldn't rest on the roof. It should be up off the roof a little bit to allow water to vent down there and to run off the roof without soaking in. You want to make sure if you hire a roofer that they are insured. They fall off the roof. You don't want to be the one paying for them. There's also two sides to the roof, don't forget. There's the attic. You want to get inside and you want to look in the attic. One of the things I've seen lately is a lot of blackness in the attic, and that's due to moisture. With the rains that we had and the moisture we have, I've seen houses that didn't have moisture before suddenly develop it. You also have to understand what insulation. It's not just throwing the insulation in your attic. You have to know how to do it, because your roof is a system. Your attic should be as cold or as hot as outside. In most cases, it's hotter than outside, and it's colder than outside. But you don't want it to be warm in the wintertime, and you don't want it to be cold in the summertime. You want it to be the same thing. And the roof should breathe, because if you put the insulation in wrong and you stop the air movement in the attic, and it's not intuitive how the attic works, because old roofs that don't have a ridge vent, they have soffit vents and gable vents, and the air should come into the soffits, travel up the roof, and then exit on the gables. Most of your houses today will have a ridge vent, and if you had a roof put in, you should have had one cut in. They cut a long strip at the top of the roof, and they cover it with a little hat. It looks like the shingles will have a little hat on the top of the roof. That allows the air to come up through the soffits, which the soffits are the little overhangs on the side, and you should have soffit vents. They cannot be blocked. You cannot stuff insulation in there. I run into houses all the time where the owner tells me, well, there was cold air coming from there, so I stuffed insulation in. Well, there's supposed to be cold air coming in there. When there's not cold air, you get warm air, and that's how you get ice dams. Ice dams are those things that freeze on the edge of the roof, and then they thaw out, and the water gets in your attic, and then it drips, and then you get that leak in your ceiling that you're wondering why you got it when it's really icy out. There's several ways to fix that, but you should contact the roofer. I'll tell you a funny story. My father got on the roof, and my father's passed, so I can tell the story, but he climbed up on the roof to clean his gutters, and this was before he didn't have a cell phone, but he had the old radio phone from the house in his back pocket, and he got up there, and the ladder fell between the cars. And he stuck up on the roof, and it's, you know, in the middle of the afternoon in Flanders there, and it started to rain. So here he is huddled against the upper roof, and he said he considered going to the tree and trying to climb down the tree that's on the side of the house. Needless to say, the power lines run next to the tree, and if he went over there, he probably would end up grabbing the power lines, and his demise would have been a few years earlier if he did that. But so he sat under the tree and called 911, and I remember it was Sergeant Galinko from Mount Olive PD that came up, and he looked up there and he saw my father, and he just shook his head and he started laughing because there's nobody home in the neighborhood. And he put the ladder up. My father got down, and my father's first words were, "Please don't tell my son." Well, the first thing he did was call me, and I went down there and had lunch with my father. I said, "Yeah, so you've been on the roof lately?" And he goes, "Oh, no, you know." So understand, don't climb on the roof unless you're really comfortable, and don't do it alone. Always have somebody else there with you. Somebody to foot the ladder makes the biggest difference in the world. So be careful up there, and what I'm telling you, get out there, take pictures, look at your roof after the storm. I always walk around my house after the storm and see if anything was damaged, see if there's anything looking at that, and get in your attic once in a while. I mean, it's tough because my attic's a pain in the neck to get to, but at least once a year I get up there and check it out, make sure there's nothing living up there or any insulation or any water accumulating or anything else like that. And sometimes it's difficult depending on how many attics you have. All right, we're going to talk about heating systems. Heating systems are most often problem is combustion air. People put them in closets and then they put doors on them, and they need air to breathe. Today's new furnaces use outside air sometimes. They have two pipes, one to exit the exhaust and one to suck air in from the outside, so you're not using house air. That's a good way to do it. Basically, you need 10 cubic feet of air for each cubic foot of gas burned. So that's 100,000 BTU, which is about average. You need at least a 25 by 25 by 8 inch vent, to a tube of air to feed that furnace. Now add a hot water heater to that closet, and you're going to use more. So understand that heating systems are also nothing to fool with. There was just a case in New York where carbon monoxide, they were using a generator in a house, and carbon monoxide killed one person and injured four. And when the fire company got there, it was so high they had to use air packs to go in. We even had an instance in Mount Olive where the neighbor saved somebody from a hot water heater that wasn't vented correctly. That's why you have inspections, guys. You know, you think, okay, I'm paying for an inspection for what, to put a hot water heater in. The plumber came in, he was there 10 minutes, he connected the water pipe and the electric pipe, and then he went off. Well, you have that inspection so the guy checks the exhaust, checks the size of the pipe. Hot water pipes, the vents have to be 4 inches today. They used to be three, so if you got a 3-inch, you may want to consider calling a plumber and upgrading. Nobody's going to tell you you have to do it, but it's probably a good idea to do it. They're finding that the 3 inches weren't big enough to exhaust the hot air from the furnaces, I mean from the hot water heaters. If you have an electric one, you don't have to worry about it because electric ones don't have any byproduct. So there. Things that go bad in the heating units that can go bad, people say, well, it's still working, but so why do I have to get a new one? Well, there's a heat exchanger in a furnace. In an oil heater, it's a big ceramic box that the flame generates super hot gases that either heat the water or heat the air, and then the air travels through the house. In a gas one, it's a box, and it's either that or a boiler. It's heating water that's circulating hot water. In a boiler, you don't have a heat exchanger in the sense that you don't have to worry about it cracking, but if it cracks, you'll have a leak. But in most houses with a hot air furnace, with a forced hot air, you get a hot heat exchanger. What it means is you're getting burned combustion air mixed with the air that's circulating in the house. And so you have carbon monoxide entering the house stream. Initially, it may not be a problem. It may be mixed and it's not that big a deal. But over time, carbon monoxide is deadly. It's odorless and you won't know about it. And if you feel lousy and you feel sick and you feel tired all the time, those are signs of carbon monoxide poisoning, and it can happen over time. So if you some of the signs are like flu symptoms. If you feel like you have the flu and you don't have the flu, and the doctor says you don't have the flu but you still feel like crap, have them come out and service your system. A lot of people think, oh, I have gas, I don't need to be serviced. Well, you should have it serviced annually anyway and have them check the efficiency, check the burners. Boilers are notorious. They last forever, but they have to be checked from time to time. Also, with the furnaces come your air conditioning. Your air conditioning, you have a condensation problem with air conditioners. They produce up to about a gallon of water an hour in the summertime because the way they cool is they remove moisture from the air, and that's what makes it feel cooler. So the it should be drained correctly, and it should be drained to the proper drain. It should be trapped if it's running to a pipe, because the trap, what it does is it allows water to block the reentry of bacteria. And Legionnaires was found to be entering air conditioning systems back through the condensation drain. Another thing about the condensation drain, people, is if you look outside, it usually comes out near the air conditioner, and it should be piped away from the house. It's very acidic, and it's very corrosive, so you don't want to get it along your foundation. You want to get it out in front of your air conditioner down the hill a little bit. Let it dissipate into the ground. It will help water your plants, but don't let it drip right along your foundation. Or, you know, some people pump it into their sump pump. That's fine, but you want to make sure that the sump pump has a lid on it. If you're dumping water into your sump pump and then you're running the dehumidifier in the basement, you're doing nothing but circulating moisture. I don't know how many times I've seen people, they have a dehumidifier, but the hose is dumped into an open pit, which, you know, it can handle it. It's not a problem, but you're dumping moisture that's going to evaporate in the pit, get into the air, and then you're pulling it out of the air with your dehumidifier. So you're spending a lot of money to circulate water. You want to get rid of that water. You want to get it out of the house, so you want to collect it, put it in a pump. If you do put it in your septic, make sure you put your lid on. A lot of houses have it pumped into the sewer system, which technically is not legal in most places, but it has been done. It's not the worst thing in the world, except for the fact that the town doesn't want to pay to treat water, and sewer treatment is very expensive. Improper and maintenance of your furnace should be done by a licensed HVAC professional. So make sure you get one that's licensed and insured, because it's significant. I had a repair done on my furnace, and they had a flue pipe that they improperly secured to the wall, and it fell off and set off a carbon monoxide detector, resulted in a full-fledged fire response to my house and my three kids being evacuated and doing a great job evacuating themselves. My other son, my handicapped son with autism. So it does happen. It wasn't as critical as it could have been, but it was carbon monoxide. And without that carbon monoxide detector, they might never have noticed. And that's why you have those. Plumbing is an area where we see a lot of homemade plumbing. Look underneath the sinks. Hang on one second. Okay, we're on schedule here, so that's good. Plumbing, if you look underneath the sink, if you're buying a house and you look underneath the sink and you see all kinds of contraptions or you see all kinds of wires to the disposer or exposed, or you see a flex pipe. A flex pipe is a telltale sign of a do-it-yourself plumber. I know I've used one in the past, but it's not something that should be permanent. I don't think I know a licensed plumber that will use one. Two things happen. So if you use a plunger on that sink, you're going to blow it off it, and you're going to blow all the stinky water into your cabinet. Second thing is if you run a snake down it, you can easily puncture it because it's really thin-walled and it's not soft and it's not rigid. So make sure that you check them every once in a while. Sinks will leak over time. I don't care if it's a brand-new sink or not. And even a brand-new sink, sometimes it needs to be snugged up. We're lucky today because everything used to be steel and chrome and brass and cast iron even or galvanized. Today, most of your pipes that you'll see in the house are PVC. PVC being plastic, polyvinyl chloride. And you can hand tighten them, or you can use a wrench on them, but don't over-tighten them, because if you over-tighten them, you destroy the seals. But check them. And if you don't know what you're doing, have a plumber come in and check them. It's something that this is one area where you can do it. I always leave a paper towel when I'm done underneath it for a little while and to see if it gets wet. Even if it gets wet and it dries, I'll be able to tell that I had a drip somewhere. And this is one area where... Yeah, you have a leak. I mean, my sister had a small leak under the sink, and by the time I got to it and I cut the floor out, you would never know it because the water was hitting the bottom of the cabinet and draining behind it. The whole underside of the cabinet was full of mold. So there was a heavy coat of mold that required some remediation. Actually, I had to end up throwing out the whole cabinet because of the mold was so penetrating. So, and you couldn't see that from the inside of the cabinet, guys. So understand, you got to see where the water's going. So that's why I tell you, look at it. Test it, and when you do it, put a piece of paper towel under it or a bucket, and then see how long you leave it for a couple of days, see if it leaks, and then you'll be able to measure it that way. But
don't underestimate
the effects of that water. That water over time is vicious. I wish I could show you some of these pictures because I do have a collection of pictures that are funny things that you can't believe that people did. This guy had. Taped a ductwork to his hot water heater to his dryer pipe, which makes a lot of sense, right? Also, you have people who do cut. Plumbers are notorious for cutting through beams, those things. Now, let's talk about structural damage because this is probably one of the areas that is big. It's also one of the things that I tend to call for a professional because it is an area that can be serious. It's also an area that can be relatively easily fixed, but you have to have an engineering degree and also know where the load stress transfers and how it does. You've all seen houses and buildings that are leaning. You see them in other countries more than here because we do have such a strict code. But also I've been underneath many crawl spaces where I see stacked up cinder block. I was in a house this weekend up in Booton. They had a car jack installed permanently holding up a beam to the living room. Granted, the house was 239 years old, which makes it like, revolutionary time. But you can't leave the floor jack. You got to put a permanent post in, and it's got to be fundamentally. Now, if you're living in a house and you want to do that, take a squeak out of the floor, nobody's going to stop you. But when you go to sell it, expect to be called out on it. Temporary lolly columns, people, those are things that you buy in the store, and you've all seen them. They're green, they're blue. They got all kinds of holes in them, and you extend it up, and then you tighten it with a screw thing into to the beam. And it's great for taking a squeak out of a floor. But if you need it to be supporting the floor, it has to have a footing. You cannot leave it on the concrete. It has to be installed in a permanent nature. It has to be bolted. It has to be sealed. And it has to have a 2x2 concrete footing. Again, you do this in your house, nobody's going to say anything until you sell it. Then you're going to expect that somebody's going to call it out, and then you're going to have to fix it, or you're going to have to take a the people are going to be concerned about it. Cracks. Cracks are funny. Cracks are like moles. Take a picture, put a piece of tape on it, look at it 3 months from now, look at it a month from now, see if it's changed. A settlement crack can be as nothing but a settlement crack. and it's nothing to worry about. Or it can, if it's deep, it's offset. If it's horizontal, it may be earth pressure that's pushing on that wall and can compromise it. So I tell people to monitor cracks over time. If I see a crack that's structural in nature, I will refer it at the time of inspection, but you're not going to know that. Also, don't forget, parchment is on most houses. Parchment is a quarter inch to half inch thickness of concrete that is plastered on the outside of the foundation walls. It makes the concrete block looks better. It's a nice smooth coat, but it does get hairline cracks in it. If those cracks don't extend into the block, they're really cosmetic, because the parchment coating is a cosmetic detail. It's a cosmetic detail that protects the block long term, but it's not structural. It's not holding up your house. And if you don't, these are one area where if you don't stay on top of and you don't seal them every once in a while, they will, water will get into it. And you know what ice can do, right? And water gets in there, then it freezes, it snaps it off, and then it starts running the wall. And now you have a 4-foot area. So get something that's latex based, or ask a mason what to use. And, try to do it early where it's minor, because when you get into big sections, if you don't know what you're doing, sometimes aesthetically it can look worse than the crack. If you're my wife, the aesthetics matters as much as the structure. I mean, I might build it might be perfect, but if it doesn't look good, it's not staying, and I'm calling the professional. But so those are some of the things in the structure, and usually it's foundation and structure. I mean, very few houses have problems with the wood structure unless people have altered it. One of the things I will tell you about structure, enough condos around that are truss construction. You can recognize a truss by when you get in the attic, and it's usually 2x4, and then there's silver plates that are holding it together. They're called gusset plates, and they're stapled in there, or they're pressed in the manufacturing process. But let me tell you, that truss is an engineered design piece of lumber, and it's designed all together. You cannot cut any component of it. If you cut a component of it, you can compromise the whole roof, not just that one truss. So understand, when you go into that attic, if you want to put a piece of plywood down to store stuff, but there's these cross members that look like Vs holding up the truss, you can't cut them. You might not cause a problem right then and there, but you know what? That truss is built to sustain load balance from outside. You may end up hurting a fireman somewhere down the line. We bought an aerial truck with a bucket because we were tired of stepping off onto condo roofs that felt like we were going to go through them. So understand that trusses are a system. They're a system. And when I say system, I mean every truss is related to the one next to it. When you have a 2x8 and it's a rafter, it's independent in a sense. It is tied to the system, but that one can fail, and the ones on each side will still support and will still be viable. You can compromise one truss, and then the second one next to it is automatically compromised because it wasn't built to handle the double the weight. So be careful with that, with the trusses and the structural problems up there. Hot water heaters. They're actually not hot water heaters. They're water heaters. And this is a trivia question in a sense that somebody calls it a hot water heater. Well, if it was hot water, why would we need a heater? It's a water heater. What comes out of it is hot water, but it's not a hot water heater because the water's cold when it goes in there. But if it isn't done right, there's a pressure valve in it. It can blevy. When I say blevy, I mean it can split open. It can cause an explosion. There have been cases where hot water heaters launch 3 stories in the air through the house, depending on whether it's gas, electric. So it's nothing to fool with. And it also has to be bonded. Bonded, what I mean is they connect the cold water and hot water with a piece of copper to stop that. It also should be connected with dielectric connections so it doesn't get electrolysis along the pipes. So hot water heater is not as simple as you think, but it's not the end of the world either. But if you don't know what you're doing, you want to get a license. Most towns require a plumbing and electrical inspection unless it's gas. Well, even if it's gas, it's usually just a plumbing inspection. But if it's electrical, you also want to make sure you buy the right hot water heater because there are different voltages, and you want to make sure that you're providing the right current to the hot water heater. Also, there are different requirements today on the vents, and there's also different requirements on the electrical shutoff. Today, I think they have to have a switch or a cutoff near the hot water heater. For years, that you could just wire it, hardwire it, and the shutoff would be in the circuit breaker box. So that's what I got so far on the plumbing. The other thing is one of the biggest things is your toilet. Your toilet takes a beating. You think about it: people jumping on it, sitting on it, walking on it, reading on it, standing on it. You got to maintain it. If it's loose, it has to be tight. If it's too tight, you're going to break it. So it's one of those things that I can't believe that they can't come up with a better system after 200 years of indoor plumbing. of getting a better way to attach a toilet to the floor. If you've ever done it, it's the messiest thing. There's a wax ring underneath it that you have to drop the toilet down perfectly on it, and then you have to bolt it down, and the bolts never stay on because they're loose and they kind of slide in there. A good plumber tacks them in with a little bit of solder, but you and I have to bolt it down. They did have some foam rings out there, but they have the same problem. But the wax ring is messy, smelly. You got to scrape the old one off. And it works perfectly if it's done right. But if it's not done right, you'll have a leak and you won't know it till it rots the floor out around the toilet. So we'll go on with some more things in a minute. But I got to do a couple commercials here because they tell me I got to pay the bills. So we'll be back. Thanks.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, I'm back. This is Larry from Home Team on Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. And this is Larry McAdee from Home Inspection Service, Home Team Inspection Service. Let's just talk about, we're going to finish up with basically insulation and ventilation. And one of the things I got to tell you about is ventilation. I mean, if you got an older house, check your vents in your bathrooms, in your kitchen's vents. Make sure they vent to the outside. I can't tell you how many times I go into the attic and there's a 4-inch vent from the bathroom and it's just dumping the moisture into the attic. It's just increasing the moisture tremendously, depending on how many showers or how often you run it. Even by osmosis, it goes up there it gets absorbed through the vent and not technically osmosis, but it just passes through. It's a cheap thing to do. You got to get somebody to do it, but it's a simple thing to do, I should say, probably not so cheap. But you want to vent it outside. Mice love hot, moist air, so I can guarantee if I find it up there, I usually find lint. I found dryer vents that are disconnected in the attic, and then I find mice turds all around it where they're nesting in this insulation. Insulation's another thing. There's a science to insulation, and if you Google it, if you want to insulate your attic, Google it. You can't put a vapor barrier in between layers of insulation. You can't put it facing the wrong way. I don't know how many times I've been in a garage or a crawl space where I can see the paper. And if you can see the paper and you're in the cold area, then it's backwards. The vapor barrier should go towards the warm spot in the house. when you have a crawl space, I had one in Long Valley where I got in it, and it's beautiful, all aluminum, you know, paper, that nice shiny aluminum, and the ceiling looked nice and level, and it was perfect, but I touched it, and it was soaking wet. The insulation had, it looked like a sponge, and there was a million cave crickets in there, scared the heck out of me. I mean, one jumped, and they all jumped, and I screamed like a, you know, schoolgirl there. I mean, it was like, ah! Because they all jump at once. It's like a delayed reaction. But and I find out, I thought it was a roof leak. I thought I had a water leak, a water pipe, and everything else. But then talked to a lot of people and did a lot of investigation. It was all moisture from the house. The moisture from the house will pass through the floor. It will pass through plywood, and it migrates out. But the trouble is it couldn't get out of the insulation because the paper was facing the wrong way. So understand that insulation is not just throwing it down. You got to understand what you're doing. If you're adding insulation to existing insulation, you got to make sure the vapor barrier is taken off, or you buy it without it. And you got to understand, you know, what you can insulate and what you're not. Like we talked about before, don't stuff the soffits and block the airflow. There are areas where you want to concentrate on. There are things you can do also before you increase the depth of the insulation, like sealing hot air leakage. Hot air leakage leaks from around the outlets. For instance, I put ceiling fans in my bedrooms, and when you cut that hole, you got to make sure you seal that hole around it so you reduce the airflow. Because it doesn't have to be a very big hole. It really doesn't, because the warm air will seek to go to the cold area, so it will actually like suck it right out of there. You'd be surprised, like in the summertime, you go in the attic, and I crawl along the beams in the attic, and I'll put my hand out near a light fixture, and I can feel the cold air coming through it. It will actually go through right through the box. That's why you use a sealed box, too, because if you use a box with open holes, the air just passes right through it into your attic. So now you're paying to air condition your attic, and in the wintertime, you're going to pay to heat the attic, and you don't want to do either. If you have snow on your roof, if you don't have snow on your roof and your neighbors do, that's telling you probably have too much heat loss into your attic. Now, make sure your house faces the same way and it's the same roof line, because I may have had one house where the house next door doesn't have any snow and the house next door is covered, but then one house is facing the southeast and the sun is beating on it, and the other one isn't facing the north and it's getting no sun. So you do have to be careful. It's not all or nothing, and you want to make sure you do that research. And tremendously today we have Google, we have the internet, and you can Google a few sites, and I'm not saying they're all right, but you can usually Google a couple of sites and you can get some hints on how to insulate and do it yourself. So I'm not saying don't do it yourself, but if you're confused and you're not sure, talk to a professional, because I hate to see you spend all that money insulating and then have to rip it down and turn it around. Or worst case, here's a stat on my screen here. It says that a brand new 2x4 can completely rot through in 4 months if the moisture content is greater than 38%. Kiln drying wood, which is what you should be using if you're building, is less than 4% moisture. So if you got 38% moisture in a 2x4, it will rot through in about 4 months. So think about all that with the moisture in your house, and you want to reduce it. If you got a damp basement, get a dehumidifier and use it. Dump the water or make sure it's piped outside so it doesn't build up. Well, you know, we're getting near the end of the show today. I'm going to, we'll see you next 2 weeks. Jeannie will be on next week. Jeannie Murphy from Weichert Realtor. I don't have her schedule yet, but I'm working on that, and I'll be able to tell you that. But I'll be back the week after, and perhaps I'm hoping to confirm my structural engineer. So that will be a good meeting, because I got a lot of questions for structural engineer, and I'll give you an example. One thing is I have steel pipes, steel posts in my basement, and they kind of, a couple of them weep water, and they like almost tear. And that's osmosis. I mean, that is water pressure that's pushed up through that concrete, because that steel post has water in it. And I learned from the structural engineer that if it's rusted too bad, you got to replace those poles, because they're really thin. They're like 1/16 inch steel filled with concrete. But then again, it might not, because if it's airtight and it's just a little bit of water, you got to watch them. So, I mean, just things like that. So if you have questions on a structural nature, you have something in your house that you're not sure about, send me an email at lmcentee@hometeam.com. That's lmcentee@hometeam.com. Or call me at 973-547-7748. During the day, you're going to get probably Jennifer, and after hours, you'll get me. But think about it. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you learned something. I hope it helps. Have a great weekend. And remember the Vet Fest Saturday at Vassa Park. I think it starts at 10 and runs to 8 at night. Tremendous. All the profits go to the veterans. It's an all-volunteer organization, and all the money goes to homeless vets. And, you know, we owe them a lot more than we could ever give them. So enjoy yourself that day. Come up, see some music, buy some food, see some vendors, and come on out. It's at Vassa Park off of Wolf Road in Bud Lake. I'm sure if you Google Vet Fest, you'll find it. And Operation Chill Out's a great program. They buy winter sweaters and backpacks with winter clothes for the homeless vets. And it's sad to say that we have so many of them. You know, we have so many problems in this country. We need to take care of our vets. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week in 2 weeks. Thanks for joining me.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump and the First Lady are now in Dayton, Ohio, following the recent deadly mass shooting there. They plan to visit with grieving families and first responders before traveling to El Paso, Texas, where they'll do the same, as El Paso was the site of the first shooting. On Saturday, 22 people were killed there. The El Paso Mayor DeMargo confronting the fact that some in his city have called for the president not to come and visit.
But he holds the office of the president of the United States, and we're going to need help in order to meet the needs of this community from a healing standpoint, as well as probably some financial resources to support us for what we've been undergoing.
The FBI now investigating last month's Gilroy, California shootings as a domestic terrorism case, as they say they discovered the gunman had a list of other possible targets, including religious institutions. And this is USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Americans rattled by a series of mass shootings in recent weeks. Now at least 20 people are recovering from injuries following a panic in Times Square, not because of an actual shooting, but concerns that there were gunshots being fired, which turned out to be a motorcycle backfiring. Most of the injuries minor, caused by people running into each other as they were trying to get out of the square. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has been down over 300.